Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in.
Welcome back, everyone. This is another episode where I'm actually joined by someone, and you know, I love my little it's called like co-anchor episodes or however you want to say it. I think it's super fun. And this is a girl who I followed for a while on Instagram, but I haven't really like known that much. And then we could just connect like a few weeks ago and we've been chatting, and she has a very interesting story about bodybuilding and how she got to where she is now. And her name is Charlotte Price. She's an online coach. And this is actually her first podcast. I was just saying to her before that I have popped a fair few podcast cherries in the past. So I feel like I am a little bit of a master at it now. But welcome, Charlotte, to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hello, Ellen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share my story and chat everything health and fitness and especially bodybuilding and my experience with that. So I'm super excited to chat with you guys today.
Yes, so excited to have you here. Before I started this episode, I just put up a story on my Instagram because I don't know if you ever heard about the fruit durian?
No, I actually haven't. So no.
It's like go to my story after this and watch the video that I put up when I tried it. So I obviously live in Bali, and here there's a fruit that they eat in like a lot of Asian countries, and it's kind of like the size of like a small watermelon maybe. And then inside it looks kind of like a mango. But oh my god, the smell, like there's literally signs that places saying that you can't eat it here. And I don't know, but someone has opened it up outside somewhere where I live, and like I can smell it, and I'm like,
so no good.
If I have to run out in the middle of puke, then you know.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually coming to Bali later this year, so I'll either let me know whether to avoid it or.
Yeah, I mean, try it because it's really funny, and it's like. I couldn't even swallow it. That's how bad it is. Like,
oh my god! That's
but
so
they
funny.
Love it here. Like all the locals that I know here, they're like, "What? It's the best thing ever!" So I mean, maybe you'll like it. Who knows? But I just the smell is just.
I'll have to let you know.
Yeah. Try it because it is funny. It's a fun experience.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyways, enough about durian. Tell us about you for the listeners who have quite a big like Instagram following already. So tell us where you started and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story actually, because I started going to the gym back in 2016. So just after I finished school in 2015. And basically I got into the gym because I was super passionate about sports, and I found that I was doing it just to be healthy, just for the exercise. And when year 12 finished and I wasn't going to continue playing these sports at a club, I needed something, and that's where I got a gym membership in 2016. So new to the gym, I didn't know what I was doing, I lacked motivation. I sort of just, you know, would find people on like social media or on YouTube, and you know, I was doing random workouts. Like I literally remember getting my little mat and just doing all these core exercises and going on the treadmill and running. And I guess I was doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, like a lot of us start out in the gym because we want to look a certain way and that sort of thing. So I guess through going to the gym, I've come a long way, and you know, I do it for the right reasons now. It's definitely much part of my lifestyle as opposed to just starting out wanting to lose weight and be skinny like a lot of people did back then. But it's definitely come a long way. Soon after going to the gym, I got into bodybuilding. So in 2019 I did my first my first and only competition, and that was ICN in SA. So that was my first competition, and that was a very interesting experience. I think I didn't really know what to expect, but I'm glad that I did it because it was one of those things that I just wanted to tick off the bucket list and look back and say, wow, I did that. But in no way, shape or form, I have any plans of competing again in the future. Yeah, alongside competing, I started working in the fitness industry. So I just started out at F45 and I was doing group fitness coaching there. And then later down the track, I did my Cert 4 in fitness, and I started doing online coaching. So I entered the online space in 2021. So I think it's been about 2.5 years now. And that's honestly just the most rewarding thing, just being able to help other people achieve their goals and teach them the things that I didn't know back when I started. So yeah, that's a little summary of sort of how I got into it and where I am today. So
yeah. I think it's so interesting because I feel like around that time that you competed, I know so many people who just started at the gym and they just got thrown into this competition world. I feel like it was just, I don't know how you felt, but I felt when I started going, like it was around that time that I was like starting going to the gym like seriously, and everyone competed. It was just like the thing everyone did.
It's just like a trend, isn't it? And like I look back and I think, why did I do it, you know? And I guess I just looked up to people who did it. So I saw on social a lot of people doing it and I was like, wow, that looks so interesting. And I guess just like seeing other people do it made me want to do it. But I think you sort of just jump into it without maybe doing enough research, without fully understanding the process, knowing what's involved, how it affects your health, how it affects your social life, how it affects, you know, your body. So I feel like, yeah, if I were to do it again, my regrets looking back would be, I wish I did more research and understood it before kind of just jumping into it. But I guess like anything new, it's exciting. And I was excited just to do it. And you look at all the photos and videos of people on stage and that kind of, I feel like you just see like the whole like glam. You don't see the behind the scenes and you don't, you know, see what someone's body can go through and how it can affect them in a negative way. And especially, you know, post competition, what can happen after that, the side effects. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's funny how heavily influenced we are by our environment. And it's really like, I speak about this all the time. I run a group coaching program, and you know, the reason the girls get such good results in a group coaching program is because you're surrounding yourself with people who have the same intention, the same goals, the same mindset, the same drive to grow as you do. And you know, I recently went back to Sweden and I found myself, you know, kind of, I felt like I was going backwards. I felt like I was stuck because most people are very stuck in that, you know, fixed mindset. They very negative, like couldn't really find anything to be grateful for every day, like kind of unhealthy lifestyle, not really, you know, prioritizing the mental health, which is something I'm so passionate about. And it just really made me see that, Jesus, like, just being back 3 weeks, I'm already influenced by my environment. Like, imagine if you actually lived in a place like that. So, you know, it does not surprise me at all that people like us who, like, you're new to the gym, we just start going and we're looking for people to look up to. And, you know, if they compete, it's like, okay, well, that obviously is the right thing to do. Then it just looks like the normal thing. And like you said, you don't look at what can happen after, or, you know, you might have heard about post-comp stress and stuff that can happen, but you kind of think like, it's not gonna happen to me, like that's them, I'm not gonna
100%. It's so true. And I think these days of social media, I do think that people are being more open and honest about their experiences and sharing more of, you know, the negative things that can happen after prep. So I think it's good to raise awareness to those sort of things. Luckily for myself, I wasn't too affected, but I just think it's good for other people to also be aware, because these are serious issues that can affect people. So yeah
for sure. Did you have a coach going into the comp, or did you do it all yourself?
Yeah, no, I did have a coach. Her name was Emma, and yeah, like, she was not too bad. So she definitely guided me through the prep and knew it was my first time. I definitely did rush into it, and I think that's probably on me because, like I said earlier, it was just so exciting and I just wanted to get up there. And at the time, I didn't understand that you know, you do need to have a certain amount of time going through prep. You're going to obviously going to be advantaged going through a proper building phase. So my comp, I didn't actually do a building phase. It was more of like a shorter term prep, which I think was about 14 weeks. And that was just my sort of cut. So obviously, yeah, my experience is probably different to a lot of other people. So, yeah.
If you look back at this experience now and you could give yourself some advice, what would that be?
I think it would literally be to do the research. I think that was the main thing I regret because I didn't have a heap of time. I definitely like lost a lot of muscle coming into prep because, you know, you are eating less food. Yeah, I think that's probably the main thing. Obviously, you know, the more like the longer your prep is, the more food you can eat, going in, building up that muscle, that base. And I just didn't really have that. So I guess my advice would be to talk to a coach, have a plan and see what is going to be best before sort of jumping into it like I did. So
yeah, for sure. Did you have a coach after you finished as well?
I didn't, but she did include like a reverse sort of diet after the comp, which is very important. I'll be honest, I didn't stick to it to the T. It is quite challenging when you restrict yourself for so long and, you know, like you're working so hard towards this goal and all of a sudden it's over and you do feel a little bit lost and you do feel like, oh, it doesn't matter because this is over and I can go and eat food out. I had a holiday booked the week after I competed. So obviously it's a little bit harder as well when you're away and you're out of routine and you're eating more food out. But I'm still happy with how I came out of it. I just think that there are definitely better ways to do it. And I think as well, it definitely taught me that it wasn't something that I wanted to continue to do. I definitely found that, you know, coming out of it, I learned that, you know, it's the importance of feeling your body, the importance of looking after your hormones, doing blood tests and getting the hormones all back on track was definitely a bit of a process, but it's at a point now where it's a lot better than what it was and getting my period back, which I don't know if that happened to you as well, but obviously a lot of girls do lose their period competing. So just things like that, it made me really learn how much I value my health as opposed to how you look sort of thing. And I think that you still can look good and achieve your body composition goals without having to turn to extremes of like bodybuilding. So,
yeah, it's definitely not for everyone.
Mm.
I think it's a very small amount of people should compete. And unfortunately, I think that we've almost like made it just like the normal thing. And people kind of forget that it is an extreme sport.
Yeah, I even get clients who want to do it as well. And I'm definitely supportive because I know when that was me, you know, I know how exciting it was. But you've just got to help them do the research, help them understand and ask them why they're doing it. I feel like a lot of people do it or want to do it for the wrong reasons. A lot of people see those photos of lean girls on stage and think, oh, that could, you know, like how exciting. But a lot of people don't understand that if you don't do it right, you know, you could actually end up with a worse off body composition afterwards, after you go through the reverse, depending on how people go. So, yeah, I think it's definitely good to educate yourself for sure.
What is something that you struggled with after you finished your competing?
Definitely body dysmorphia. So obviously you get so used to being very lean and seeing yourself, you know, in ways that I'm going to say isn't healthy, because obviously, you know, you're doing this for a timeline. So it's a short term sort of thing. So I guess after comp, when you do the reverse diet, you are increasing your calories and you do get bigger because it's not healthy to sustain how you are on stage. So I guess putting on body fat over time, and obviously, like I mentioned, I didn't stick to my reverse diet as I should have, so maybe that came a little bit faster than it could have, but definitely it was uncomfortable putting on body fat, and at the time I look back and I was just healthy and normal, but at the time I remember feeling like I was so big, and I just know that, you know, that was just that negative sort of thing that came with, you know, like you're not used to being, you know, you're not, like you get so lean that you're not used to having a normal amount of body fat. And at that time, it just made me feel a lot bigger than what I was. So yeah, definitely body dysmorphia was probably one thing that I definitely struggled with. So
how did you overcome that? Because I can imagine, I mean, I definitely struggled with it too, but
yeah,
I can imagine a lot of girls who have competed or even just done a diet and, you know, shredded for a wedding or photo shoot,
yeah,
whatever.
Definitely. It's a really good question. Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. I definitely had to change my goals. Obviously, my goal was no longer to step on stage. So I sort of reevaluated what I wanted to achieve and what, you know, was realistic for me to sustain. And that's sort of where the approach of sustainable results sort of came in. But my goals were more so around strength and performance and, you know, focusing on more about my training as opposed to how I look. And that was one thing that about competing I didn't love, was it was so focused on your body. But now I'm so much more focused about, you know, being in the gym and hitting new PBs and what I can do with my body as opposed to the focus on my body. And I found through that, once you focus on, you know, what you can do, like it sort of is a like a follow through effect. Like you do end up with, you know, the more muscle you have, the stronger you are, like you build up your BMR, so your metabolic basal rate. And once you've got that higher, you can eat more food. So it sort of made me realize that that's what's more sustainable. And I focus more on the long term and so sustaining a result rather than on the short term. So yeah, definitely changing my goals and focusing on strength. That's sort of the direction that I went down.
Yeah, I can relate so much to this. And I always say to people that CrossFit literally changed my life.
Wow. Like, wow. I'd love to try CrossFit maybe one day.
Yeah. But I mean, it can be any sport. The only reason I say that is because at CrossFit, there's not a single mirror in sight. Like, I remember when I had very similar experience to you. Like, I competed and I had gone on a holiday. I went to Thailand for 2 weeks and I just, you know, going from barely eating anything, like 1,000 calories a day for 12 weeks, to then going to Thailand and being like, it's a free-for-all buffet and, you know, all-inclusive drinks, food, everything. Like, of course you're going to blow out. So if 100%. You're listening to this and you have competed or you've gone on a diet and you've been really strict and then you've gone on a holiday, like, that's literally the worst thing that you can do. Because you're going to go
and we've both done it.
it's an all or nothing. It's like all in for the competing and then you're going on a holiday where it's not realistic to be 100% strict with like a reverse post-comp diet. It's just not. And it took so long to start having compassion for myself for doing that because I felt like such a failure. Like, oh my God, I put on all the weight that I lost in just 2 weeks. And, you know,
there was so much shame that came with that. And if you think about it, like, you shouldn't feel shame for eating food.
No.
So I think post-comp, it kind of can trigger, you know, like a bad relationship with food. Obviously you're tracking everything you eat for so long and you get so caught up on that. And I remember the first time I didn't weigh my food, I felt like I was doing the wrong thing. And yeah, I just didn't love how that made me feel and how your brain associates food as numbers. And really, like, you should be eating to fuel your body. And I definitely, you know, learned that coming out of it. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. And it actually scares me that we have made something as normal as eating food and listening to your body the thing that's not normal anymore. That what's normal is following a meal plan, that's following my fitness pal, that following something that's super strict to a T. That's the normal thing to do right now. And that it scares the shit out of me, especially for future generations. Like, imagine having your mom putting every single thing that she eats on a scale, weighing it out, not eating her meals with the rest of the family because she feels like she's not good enough as she is. Like, what does that say to your daughter or to your son? Like, what does that teach them?
It's a really bad message, isn't it? I think as well, like, a big problem with, you know, not even just competing, but also, you know, you look at 8-week challenges where, you know, you'd probably be eating similar calories, maybe a little bit more. And then you see people just trying to continue eating that way. So obviously these challenges are designed as a short-term goal. They're designed to be followed for 6 to 8 weeks or however long. And then you see people just trying to eat the same for a long period of time, and they don't understand how that affects their body and how it affects their metabolism. And then they can't lose weight because their body is so conditioned to these low calories that that's sort of their new normal. And I think a problem, like, I don't know about you, but with online coaching, a lot of clients come to me with a goal of losing weight. And I ask them, you know, what they're currently doing and what they're currently eating. And some of the time they end up tracking their food and it's 1200 calories, some are 1500 calories. And these are grown adults as well. Mm-hmm. And they just can't, they're not seeing results. They've been eating this way for so long. And I think a lot of people do under eat who, you know, outside the competition side of things, that generally a lot of people just think that, and I guess we've always been told that less is more. And, you know, if you want to lose weight, you have to eat less. But I do think it's not always the case when you've had people doing this for so long and, you know, they actually do need to sort of reverse their calories up to, you know, to actually get results. So I don't know if that's something that you've come across as well.
Well, I don't coach nutrition anymore, but when I was, yes, 100%. You would get, I'd get clients and be like, I put them on not even much, like 1600, 1800, and be like, what? I can't eat this much. It's too much. And they wouldn't even hit their calories. And it would be like, it wouldn't even be about weight loss at the start. It would just be about, okay, we need to get your calories up, because the reason that you're so tired all the time, or that you're binge eating, or that you're snacking all the time, or that you can't go to the gym, or that you have to nap during the day, it's because you're not eating actual food. And it's just like you said, like we've been told our whole lives that, especially as women, that, oh, you should eat less, and like, oh, you probably have a salad, sweetheart, and your stuff like that. And I remember when I had like a normal job and I used to go into the office and have my lunch prep and stuff. And, you know, if I had like a big salad, no matter what I ate, someone had a comment is, oh, aren't you on a diet? If I had like a burger, and if I had a salad, it's like, oh, you're always dieting. Or if I had something normal than not usual, then like, whoa, that's a big serving. Like, are you going to eat all that?
It's so true.
Like, do we have to really comment on people's food?
I really hate people commenting on other people's food. If you're listening to this, guys, please do not comment on other people's food, even if it's about eating something healthy or not, because at the end of the day, you don't know, you know, that person's relationship with food. I just don't think it's very necessary. It's obviously a personal choice, and at the end of the day, I eat things to feel good. I eat things to fuel my body. I'm very boring with food, actually. I do find myself doing meal prep and eating the same thing. but yeah, it's such a good point. People sort of see you as a health freak or a health person. And if you do something outside of that, people make comments. And, you know, I think I definitely put out there that I'm about, you know, like, I'm not super strict to a T, but I also, like, I encourage, you know, meals out. I think that it's important to live a balanced lifestyle. I don't think people should be missing out on social events because they need a track. I think that it's important to have a variety of food and, you know, eat soul food as well, because it's a pretty sad life to me, it sounds, if people aren't eating anything because they're trying to stick to their macros. So
yeah, 100%. And like, sometimes people will get really mad at me because they think that I'm really against tracking. And I'm not. I just think that it has a time and a place. And I just don't think that it's something that you can do forever. Mm-hmm. Nor should you want to. And that's when the problem comes in, when people are like, I can't let go of my fitness pal. Yeah. Like, I can't have a day of tracking. That freaks me out. Or that, you know, if I don't track my food, or if I don't follow a meal plan, I will binge eat. And 100%. Then it's not about, like, mm-hmm. then it doesn't serve the purpose that you want. It doesn't enhance your life. It literally just puts a band-aid on that bleeding wound that is binge eating or alcoholism or whatever addiction that you're struggling with at the moment.
And that's right. I think that tracking is a really useful educational tool that, you know, people should learn, especially, you know, obviously if you've had you know, a bad relationship with food in the past, I'd be a bit more hesitant towards tracking. But I do think starting out, everyone should learn it just to educate yourself around food and what it looks like. And not necessarily to lose weight or eat not much food, but no matter what your goal is, if you're trying to build muscle, it's good to track to learn where your maintenance calories lies and, you know, what it looks like to go into a surplus to support your goals. I do think, though, that long term, everyone should move away from tracking. So I obviously have been in the fitness industry for a long time now, and I have been tracking on and off for a few years. More recently, in the last year, I've actually stopped tracking altogether. I've still gone through, you know, my goals of a shred. For example, in April last year, I had a photo shoot and I was, you know, looking to shred down for that. But I did that without tracking. And I think that, you know, once you learn the tools and what it looks like in food, as I mentioned earlier, I eat pretty similar anyway, but what it looks like in food to eat, for example, you know, 2000 calories is just as an example, then you can learn, you know, to eat less. So I'll give you an example, like for eggs, for example, when I was building muscle, I would have like my 3 eggs, I'd have my toast, I'd have my, I love coconut milk, so I have coconut milk coffee. And then more recently, when I started my shred, I've, you know, instead of having 3 eggs, I'll have 2 eggs. Instead of having my coconut milk coffee, I'll have a black coffee. I've added my steps every day. So I'll try and do 8,000 steps every day. So just things like that, that is sustainable for me. It's not restricting myself. I know what it looks like to be in a deficit now without having to track. So just things like that, I think it's important to find something that's sustainable and works for you long term.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. And I think that honestly, it's something that we should be teaching kids in school. Like, what are, like, what's protein? Like, what kind of foods contains protein? What contains carbohydrate? What contains fats? Like, what's fiber? Where do you get fiber from? What does it do in the body? Stuff like that. I really, really wish that we would learn in school, because it would just be so helpful. Like, I remember just like when I first started tracking, like I don't track now and I haven't tracked for like, I can't even remember that last time I tracked my food, but when I first started, I remember putting fat into my fitness pal, oh sorry, butter into my fitness pal, and I was like, what? It has fat there? Like, it has calories? Yeah. I was so oblivious.
Just things like that, like just learning, like, and that's what I teach a lot of my clients as well, just learning like the macronutrients, like obviously both know that, you know, protein and carbs, 1 gram of that is 4 calories.
Yeah.
Fats, 1 gram is 9 calories. Just being more aware of foods, but it is definitely, it would have been such a shock the first time you did it.
I mean, I think it is a really, really good tool to use to learn. And yeah, like you said, I think it is a great to educate our clients on this. But yeah, like once you've learned, please like start trusting yourself to start letting go of it as well, and having days of where you don't track, and when you practice the stuff that you just mentioned about, oh, well, you know, when I wanted to cut, I just had a little bit less eggs, and I had I didn't have milk, I had black coffee. You know, if for like a pasta, like just have a smaller serving of pasta and have some salad on the side, or if you have a pizza, maybe have just half the pizza. Like, it doesn't have to be that complicated.
100%. And like, you don't have to track to get results. Like, you know, for clients who don't like to track, there are other ways to go about it. I often tell people that, you know, if you don't want to restrict yourself, it's fine. Just eat what you want to eat and just stick to serving sizes to some extent. Obviously, it's going to be dependent on how active you are, what your goals are. But generally, you know, if someone wants to lose weight, I feel like you can't really go wrong if you stick to serving sizes of what you're eating. As an example, I have chocolate every day because I love chocolate, and, you know, like,
who that doesn't?
Was my goal at the moment, but I'll stick to the serving size. I won't eat the whole block. So I think it's definitely important to learn to, you know, control the portion sizes of everything that you're eating. And that's definitely a good way to go about it if you don't really want to track your food or,
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's a very, I think that the when my body started changing the most, and like now I feel so good, I've never felt so confident in my body. But if I start to notice that my clothes are getting a bit tighter, for example, or like I feel heavy when I'm training or something like that, then what you just need to do is, like, you don't have to attach so much guilt to it. You don't have to come down on yourself and say that you failed and that you can't do anything and that you've gone backwards and all this stuff. Just try and accept that, you know what, it's okay that my body changes and through different seasons. Like, what have I done in the last few weeks? So I will have partied every weekend, or I've gone for desserts every night. And well, duh, of course my body's gonna change. And it's like,
I
well,
think.
am I happy with this? Or do I want to change my life and be a bit smaller? And then if I want to do that, then I can do that. But if I'm happy to do what I'm doing, then I'll just do that. And you know, your body will
Exactly.
change all the time, and that's okay.
That's right. And it's normal. It's normal for your body to change. And I think for me, it was really good for my relationship with food and my body, going through surplus phases where, the goal was building muscle. I like to do this during winter where I can, eat all the comfort food. But yeah, it was really good for me because obviously, my weight was going up. I was focusing more on like lifting heavier and, performance-based goals and, like growing my glutes. Like a lot of girls want to grow their glutes. And for me, that was one thing that I did achieve. And, I sized up in clothes. Like I in activewear, I went up to a size small and, it was nice not to have that negative feeling about, having to buy bigger clothes because I feel like, society makes us sort of think that, it's not a good thing. But I guess, teaching ourselves that it's dependent on your goal and it's not a bad thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I can imagine a lot of people listening to this are probably like, as I small, that's the like your big size, because that's probably a lot of people's goal. But please remember that every person is different. We all
That's
have
right.
different bodies. We all have different genetics, how we're meant to look like what is normal for you, like where you're living your best life, is gonna look completely different to what's normal for me. Like, even if we train and ate exactly the same every single day, our bodies will still look completely different.
That's right. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's definitely a good point.
So yeah, please keep that in mind. And that's, you know, when I was coaching nutrition, I remember a lot of girls would come and be like, send me a photo, like, I want to look like this person, or like, I want abs like that person, or something like that. And, you know,
Not
that's not
realistic.
reality. Like, you just can't. Like, I, for example, I could never look like Lauren Simpson. Like, I'm not cool. I don't have like long legs. Like, that's just not how my body is. And that's, you need to start accepting that your body's meant to look like it does. And then you can change and shape and create forms wherever, like, as much as you can, but you're never gonna look like someone else.
It's so true. I think that's a really good message, not to compare yourself to other people. And that's often, when people can feel bad about themselves, when they look at other people. So yeah, I think it's just so important to focus on yourself and stay in your own lane and set your own goals that are, realistic to you. Like, you might see Lauren Simpson training 6 times a week. Don't try and, do that when, you haven't trained before. And you're trying to just get started. So, I think small steps is definitely important and focusing on what's realistic for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, you and I, we have the luxury of training whenever we want, basically. Like, you know, we could get up at 10 and train. We don't have kids, or you don't have kids, right?
No.
We don't have kids, like, don't have that responsibility, don't have to be in an office at a certain time, like, don't have to prep lunches for little toddlers. Like this is something that sometimes my clients are like, oh, like, but you meditate every day and you train this many times a week and you do all this. Yeah, but I'm single, I have all this freedom. Of
All
course I can do
the
it.
time.
Like,
That's
everyone's different and everyone's lives are
right.
going to be different. And sometimes people compare themselves even to, you know, themselves 10 years ago. But even 10 years ago, your life was completely different. Or 1 year ago, your life was completely different. So it's just not fair to compare yourself to a person that no longer exists.
Yeah, it's so true.
So what's in store for your coaching for this year? Do you have any big goals, big plans? What's happening?
So I've been coaching, I think I mentioned earlier, for about 2.5 years now. I have about 30 clients at the moment. More recently, I've just implemented a new challenge, which is super exciting, and that's my glow up challenge. And that's starting this month. So I'm excited to have more capacity to take on more girls and girls who have been on a wait list for some time. So yeah, I guess I'm just excited to support more people and help them achieve their goals, whether, that is fat loss, whether they're trying to build muscle, whether they just want to create a routine that they can stick to. Yeah, so I guess for my goals, I am in a deficit at the moment. So I'm still working on fat loss, which is fun, but I'm also trying to keep the strength up. So training super heavy, feeling the strongest I've ever felt, which is just such an awesome feeling. So yeah, how about you? What are your sort of fitness goals?
I have decided this year I'm gonna become a Harrox girl. You know Harrox is?
Yeah.
I have
I
always been a like when I was sick with eating disorders, I used to run so much, like all the time. But
love
then I just lost it completely. Because I feel like it kind of reminded me of when I was sick. So I was like, no, don't want to do it. And
No, yeah.
I started, doing a lot of CrossFit, started getting a lot of injuries, and then I got my boobs done, and now I've been like, nah, they're too big. I can't run it. But I
Now
have,
the time's come.
slowly worked myself up to it last year, and then when I was home in Sweden, I finally bought a pair of like expensive running shoes. I'm like,
It's on.
Ellen, that you paid this much money for these shoes, you're fucking getting out
Yes. You sort of like buy that to sort of keep you accountable.
Yeah, I was like, if you're gonna
Run
treat yourself
class.
to these shoes, you better freaking use them as well.
Well, yes, I'm definitely not a runner, so I won't be joining you on that one. I think I might stick to the weights. You don't want to
I
see me
am really
run.
excited. It's gonna be good. Like anyone who has done a lot of CrossFit, like it's easy to get quite injured, especially when you're very competitive and you do like too much, like I tend to do. I really struggle to know when I stop. So HYROX has been a lot easier on my joints and
Oh, that's
recovery
awesome.
wise. So that's good, but I'm really excited for it. We'll see.
Oh, so good.
But that challenge, that sounds super exciting. Is that a group challenge?
Yeah, so well, it's an individual challenge, but
Okay.
I am taking on a few different people. So I guess there's a group of people doing it, but it is an individual challenge. So
Amazing.
yeah.
Amazing. Well, that sounds awesome. We will link your Instagram handle in the show notes. And obviously, best of luck with it. This would be out in the next couple of weeks. So when you guys hear this, you'd still have time to sign up to this awesome challenge. And as you can hear, like Charlotte is so has so much wisdom and such a healthy, balanced approach to this. Obviously, I wouldn't interview someone and put someone on here who didn't have that. I'm very picky.
Oh
So
no,
it's been
thank
so nice.
you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so good to chat with you, and yeah, I'm really excited.
Of course, my pleasure. And please let me know if you do come to Bali. We can catch up, or we can try durian fruit together.
I absolutely will. I'm actually coming up for my birthday, so yes, I'll hit you up. We might do
Please do. Yeah,
CrossFit
yeah. And everyone who's listening, if you like this episode, please make sure you do take a screenshot, or you to just share it straight from Spotify. Tag myself, tag Charlotte. Let us know what you thought of the episode. If there's anything that you can really resonate with, and like I always say, that it's just so like I see a lot of people are listening, but I don't know who you are. So I would love to get a face to this number, and it just makes me so happy when I wake up and I have a notification that someone's shared the podcast. So please make my
Oh,
day and
please
share
let us know. Please
it.
tag us.
All right. Thank you so much again. And everyone
Thank you
else,
so
I will speak
much.
to you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Ellen. See ya.